sex books, and oh, even blindfolds made from table napkins.
Well, she should wear the blindfolds, clearly.
Made from table napkins specifically? Those are the best kind of blindfolds. Everybody yes. knows that.
You know those table napkins you have at home?
Scratchy table napkins. Who doesn't love?
I have like Bounty at home. Would that work?
That would like a velour belt.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Listeners, we have a special guest with us here today. We have Frank Angelini. He is an actor, an improviser, and the artistic director of...
The Queen's Secret Improv Club.
Cool. And where's that based out of?
We're based out of the Secret Theater in Long Island City.
The Secret Theater. Okay, so
where's
nobody...
Where's the Secret Theater?
Don't tell.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't release. No, it is actually kind of a secret. It's off the Court Square stop in Long Island City.
Okay, nice.
And it's the kind of neighborhood that when you walk through it, it looks like Ninja Turtles will jump out and attack.
Yeah, it totally does.
Yeah.
I used to transfer through there when my husband lived in Greenpoint when we first met, and I remember some nights being like, what on earth is going on? Like, it looks like a set.
Yeah. It's getting there. It's a neighborhood on the rise right now.
And are you guys, are your shows every night?
Yeah, right now we're up to 5 nights a week.
Nice.
So, yeah, Wednesday through Sunday we have shows there.
And it's all improv all the time?
It's 90% improv. Saturday is musical improv night, which has been really successful. That's kind of new. And then, you know, we have some variety and stuff as well, but we may be making some renovations to the space, and at that time, if we get a full liquor license and everything, we're probably going to turn it into more of a cabaret kind of lounge.
Cool. Wow. So you're really giving the other theaters a run for their money.
Fancy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we don't want to, like, say that we're battling with them. I think what it is it's more that we're... I think we serve improv more than anything.
When you're in jail.
Yeah. So we serve improv, and we're basically just giving more stage opportunities to, like, the indie scene a little bit more than...
I think that's really important.
What is the difference between, like, indie and non-indie improv?
The corporate improv? Like,
yes.
Squashing everything?
Sure. Well, there is that, for sure. There is, like, the Second City boat cruises and all that. But, I mean... Typically, indie refers to teams that have, like, formed independently outside of a theater, because the big three theaters in New York, they cast teams that are called house teams.
Okay.
So that's the difference.
Okay, yeah. So the house teams, they perform out of a certain theater, and they have to go through...
You have to be chosen.
You have to be chosen. Yeah. You have to go through an audition, and you're a house team, and it's like...
And that's why I have never been on a house team, because I don't go to auditions.
And it's...
like, you know what I mean?
But you could be put on a house team with anybody. It's not necessarily that it's going to be your friends or anyone that you really want to work with, but you're there.
And that's one of the fun things about improv when I've taken classes and when you've taken classes and probably when you've taken classes as well, is like you meet other people that maybe you're not all the best, but it's like you really want to work together.
Right.
Yeah. And you don't get that opportunity unless you're doing independent stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, and it's really hard to run your own programming in New York. You can rent out a theater, but it's like upwards of 100 plus a night. Mm-hmm. So,
and
you know, we're like a cheap option.
Who's going to know? Like, if there's not improv there on a consistent basis, it's like, how are your fans going to be able to show up?
Yeah.
Right. And then, again, the stage time is really important because unlike painting or, you know, playing an instrument, you can't do improv, like, alone. You need an audience, really, to like, perform in front of.
Unless you have a podcast. In which case, that's what we do. So now we have a man in the studio, we're going to be asking him to help us with some advice on advice because we do advice on advice. It's one of our favorite segments. It's where we take advice from the internet that stinks, it's unqualified, and we improve upon it, hence advice on advice. And we always give you a lady's opinion. Mm-hmm. So now we have a gentleman here,
right?
A gentleman.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to chime in because there's just some stuff that I'm like, really, guys?
Now, is this advice given by guys?
Some of it's by guys. Okay. Some of it's not by guys. Some of it has nothing to do with guys at all. But we just like to get a dude's opinion. So I want to kick off with this. This is from Esquire magazine.
Guy magazine.
Yes, a guy magazine.
Yeah, but it could be a woman writing.
It could be a woman writing.
Somebody with a bottle of Chardonnay. Yeah. Like, I'm a dude.
Sometimes people lie, too. Yeah. They'll put their name as Tom, and actually it's like Charlene.
Journalists lying?
Yes.
Right.
No. So it says, this is from Esquire.com, so even better. How to win her back. So this basically is, you can tell me if this makes sense or not.
Okay.
There's a guy here who says, you know, I've had many friends named Bill, about six or so.
What? Okay, fine.
One guy who's an extremely tall, pockmarked mullet, semi-poet, huge hands, black belt in some martial art, wears like terrible clothing.
Arkansas belt.
Yeah, Arkansas belt. never gets any ladies at all. But then he talks about another guy who has a bad boy animal magnetism, a lurching Tom Waits costume, and a legitimate passion for Rambo, and he gets it all the time.
Like, all right.
He says here, this guy got his and then some, so it's very romantic. It says that Bill...
Like, our guys are like, you know what, you refer to your friends, you say, this is the guy that gets them.
Yeah, he gets it.
No.
Bill always said it was easy to win over women. He employed salesman's trick of seduction. We like being treated like a product. Solicitous attention, eye contact, wit, kindness, gestures, confident attention, blah, blah, blah. So he's taking his cues from Bill, and this is what Bill has told him to how to get your woman back. So you've had this woman, you've had it, and it's left.
All right.
And now you want it back, right? So it says, don't believe in your first shot. A woman must be won over several times.
What? Wait a minute. This sounds like...
The first time, driven by attraction, chemistry, and illusion, is easy. But the last time you win a woman over, then you have to win her back after having lost her. It's a tough one. So by then, he's saying, the illusion has dried up and the tricks have become transparent. So your game is mad stale. Basically.
Wait a minute. So how many times do you get?
I don't know.
To bring back. Like,
it says here, a woman must be won over several times.
Several times.
Yes.
Like, you just keep going at it until you get it?
Yeah, like, you're just going to run into a brick wall over and over again.
Over and over again.
Either smash through it or just collapse in a bloody heap.
So it's... So it says, don't believe in your first shot. Keep going at it.
What are the possible... Why did she leave in the first place?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They're just saying, we want it left, and we want it back. Right?
So they don't care how many times it's going to go, it's coming back.
It's coming
whether
back.
Whether it likes it or not.
It says here, don't trade on your misery. You're on the outside looking in, and it's no fun. But nobody gives a damn if you cry. Don't whine about all the things you miss. If she's happy about the breakup, then you're just showing this past passion for nostalgia. If she's unhappy, you're amplifying what she already knows.
How would you get back somebody? Like, how would I get back somebody?
I don't know. This article is going to tell me. It says, oh, here we go. Sorry. Here's the advice.
All right.
Don't promise to change.
Don't promise to change. All right. So you lost it. Now you go and approach it.
You go and approach it, and you say,
I'm not going to change.
I'm not going to change.
So I want another shot. Nothing's going to be different this time.
Yes.
But maybe your scales of justice will tip the other way for good.
It says, don't promise to change because promises are cheap. And I'm like, and that's why we make them.
Right.
Right? It says, address the deficit. Right? Talk about what was wrong. What did you neglect? And then declare how you've already changed.
Wait a minute.
So do you need to change or do you need to just say that you've changed?
I mean, but...
Well, I think if you just say that you changed, you're going to be trying to go for another shot again pretty quickly.
Right.
That's what I would think.
That's your shot.
That's your
just,
shot.
That's just your thing.
It says here, the next one is, don't get a present for her.
Okay.
No, do.
Do get a present.
Do get a present for her.
I mean...
You've lost her. You're trying to get her back. What's wrong with presents?
No, where do you stand on presents?
Presents, I feel like presents as an apology is okay if it's not the stakes of your relationship that depend on it. Because then it's like a hollow gesture, I feel like.
Right.
Like, here's a car. I'm sorry I fucked your sister.
Yeah.
Like, that might work, though, for some people.
Like a nice gesture, like, for instance, what was it, on The Office? The guy was like, oh, I know you like tea. I got you this little teapot. It has my picture inside or something.
No. Don't get her a present.
I mean, like, you're talking about, like, gifts like that that are thoughtful and meaningful.
Right.
Okay.
It says, make your behavior a gift in itself.
Ooh.
Well.
What kind of behavior?
Remind her who you are. I think she knows. She kicked your ass out, right?
Does it involve a foot rub?
Yes. If it does, then do that. Do a little inventory of your shared past. Find a way to demonstrate again, to show up, wake up, and retool. This sounds like management speak.
Well, that's probably the total, this type of Bill is probably a total, like, Wall Street
middle
type,
management
who, like,
kind
is
of guy.
Used to a certain type of girl who can be won over with presence and talk. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, at a very low risk to himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it says, don't let someone be in love with a lie.
What's that?
I don't know. This is why we have a guy here, because I don't understand any of this.
I feel like that statement just totally negated everything else he said, because I feel like this is all how to lie.
Right?
And then don't let it be a lie.
It says don't encourage them. If it isn't who you are, do everybody a favor and move on. So it's like, you're an asshole. Just find someone else who'll put up with you being a dick.
Right.
Basically. Yeah. So this is Esquire's advice on how to win her back. Like, I don't
Esquire.
Think... Esquire. Yeah. Mm. None of this sounds like it would work to me.
No, I don't think so. I've been in a few on-again, off-again relationships. One, specifically, was really, really bad, and...
Did you do any of this?
Yeah, probably at varying levels. But, like, talking about the past, no, don't do that, because then you just end up in a fight about something that you had already
But she's like, wait a minute, I remember why I left your ass in the first place.
Right.
Because of this shit. I'd forgotten you fucked my sister, but now you've reminded me all about it.
I'm picturing it again.
Yeah. It's just terrible advice. I feel bad because this is what's out there. What if there's some guy out there who's like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy.
I'm going to do this. All right, what do you have?
Okay. Let's see. So this is really, this is advice for girls, okay. But we need Frank to chime in and say if guys really think this or not.
He destroys the studio every fucking time.
All night. I've been just here for 3 hours. I did.
I think he moved it back.
It probably did.
Older guys.
Okay, so this is 13 charming ways to be more approachable to guys.
Okay.
So this is guys telling girls what to do so they can get hit on.
Okay. Oh no.
13 ways is a lucky
number. Yeah. Really good. The first one, tits out. That's the first one.
Yeah. First one is, let's say, contrary to what most women think, you don't have to do something outrageous or provocative to get a guy to walk up to you and say hello.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, if you understand a guy's mind and what goes...
Who does? Right. Does a guy understand a guy's mind? I mean, this is a very...
No, I don't think anybody understands anyone's.
Yeah.
Okay. You can make any guy want to strike up a conversation with you within 5 minutes of stepping into place.
Tits out.
Basically.
Am I right?
I like the simplest answer is best.
Yes.
Okay. First one is, look good.
Yeah, tits out. Thank you. Yeah, look good. What if you? But here's the thing, what if you don't look good? Move on to number two. Look good.
It's such a subject.
When a guy walks into a room, it takes him less than a few glances to make up his mind whether he wants to approach a girl or not. Mm-hmm. True or false?
True or false?
Yeah, because you don't want to just, like, Hawkeye somebody. Just deep staring when you first spot her.
But that's what, if tits are out, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah,
but then everybody's okay.
I was like, if you're smooth enough, you will not do that. So yeah, a couple glances maybe.
I think it's really awkward if a guy is staring you down and you catch them, then both of you are out. Both of you have to leave that bar.
Then it's like a standoff.
Yeah,
it's like, I caught you, I know what's going on.
So forget it.
Well, the second one is for the girl, don't appear occupied.
Hmm?
Don't be too engrossed with your phone or a book or something else. You know, when you go to a bar and you have your book.
Okay, I'm sorry. That has never stopped a guy ever. You've been reading a book, looking at your phone, headphones on, and doing something, and a guy will still
come up to you, right? I mean, is that going to thwart you?
I feel like...
Is a book going to stop you? Going to let, you know...
Not a book. Maybe if you're, like, going at a thick steak or something, just housing a T-bone, maybe I'd give you some time.
Yeah. Mid-chew. Yeah, because you don't want to approach someone mid-chew, like mid-marrow. You don't want somebody. But if someone's reading, say, you know, a newspaper, that's not going to stop a guy.
Yeah, no. Maybe if you're on page one.
That's the good news. Ladies, be in the middle of
the newspaper. Yeah, in the middle of the newspaper.
Be towards the end of the newspaper. Be in section D.
Right. I went out on a double date once. And,
that sounds awful.
The guy, we were at, like, this was like... God, in my early 20s, and we were at some lounge bar that was hip and had a lot of velvet drapes and things, and the guy did not want to be with me. He was, like, you know, set up with me, and he pulled out a book and started reading it.
Whoa.
It was like,
I would have smacked that book to the floor and then ordered the most expensive thing on the menu.
Also, like, the uncoolest thing you could do in, like, a lounge with velvet drapes.
It's probably very well lit in there, too. Why did they just be cool?
Just be cool. And it wasn't even
like... Wasn't that bad? But Katie is not that offensive.
I'm not that offensive. I'm kind of offensive, but not that offensive.
Were you doing anything, like, weird?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just being yourself?
Just being me.
That's weird.
And so, I said, oh, geez, you know. I said to my friend, I'm like, he's got a book. And I'm like, I'm right in front of him. Yeah, he's got a book. I'm going to go to the bar. I went to the bar.
You're like, exit Katie.
And she went with me. And she was like, get out of here, guys.
Yeah. I was with my husband one time on a plane. My husband's white, so sometimes people don't think we're together. Because how could that happen? But there was a guy sitting next to me. I'm like reading my book. I'm really nervous about flying. And he was like, kept trying to catch my eye. And I'm like, no. So finally he was like, oh, so you're reading the book. I was like, yep. He's like, what's it about? I said, lobster. End of that.
And he was like, what do you say to that?
Nothing.
What about you? Do you ever like use a book? Do you see a girl reading a book and you're just like start like, oh, I read that or I could talk about that with
her? Yeah, that's an entry.
If anything, that's a good clue about like, oh, who is this type of person? Is she reading The Secret? Is she reading Esquire magazine?
50 Shades of Grey. Or is it a nice Steinbeck?
What kind of title would you say that would be like the biggest turn off? Like what kind of genre? It could be anything.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, probably if somebody was reading, like, Us Weekly or something, I would just be like, not for
so
me.
No teachers, basically. Right.
Oh, that's so funny.
Us Weekly. Ladies,
Us Weekly. I hate celebrity culture and people who are obsessed with this.
I do. When I was a teacher in the break room, I was the only person that was reading the Wall Street Journal. I'll tell you right now. It was all Us Weekly. Horrible stuff. All right, so what else is on there? These are good.
Okay, so you can also, let's see. Make it easy for him. Okay, this is what you need to do.
I'm already there, tits out of the book.
Yeah, right.
The end of a book.
Yeah. It's intimidating for a guy to approach a girl when she's with a big group of friends. If your idea is to meet guys or get approached by them, then try to spend time alone or probably...
Just be a target.
Yeah. Or probably with another girlfriend. Now...
So what's the... Okay. If there are two of us, that's approachable.
Yeah.
When does it become not approachable?
This is like some predator prey. Like, it's like, oh, if you're with the large flock, the wolves don't want to attack.
Yeah, right. You want to run them off to the
into
side.
The dark corner of the bar. That's when you'll get pounced upon.
Yeah. You got a Jurassic Park it.
Right. Yeah. So what is it? And how many guys do you have to have with you?
Right. Well, I think that's the factor is I've been in that situation where, like, rarely go out by myself, but there was a, like, brief phase where I would do that. And
we've all been there.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, you know, what would you think about a guy? I guess if you approach a group of women, it could go two ways. Like, they're like, why is this weirdo alone, like, trying to infiltrate our group? Mm-hmm. Or somebody's like, oh, you actually have the confidence to come up to this whole big group. But I feel like most guys would not be willing to take that gamble because they fear rejection.
Yeah. So two women is one too many to approach if you're one guy.
I think you could do two.
Two, but three, forget it.
Three, yeah, then it gets weird.
Then you need more guys.
Yeah, you need another guy.
You need to get another guy, but like, are you alone? Just let's walk over here together.
How about, how about the move, like, where you see two girls sitting at a table and you just sit down with them? Have you ever done that?
Nah. I'm, like, really bad at approaching people, actually. Yeah, I'm, like, terrible.
That's some shit I think I would have done when I was single. But I saw two girls like, hey, how you guys doing? Right? I'm reading the book.
Yeah, I think I told you the story. The guy sat down and it was like, what are you two, sisters?
Did you look alike?
No.
It's like me and Katie. With sisters.
Yeah, and we're like, what, like, who are you? And no. And he's like, well, what are you to each other? Like, hey, are you guys like lesbians or something? Like on a date? He was like trying to.
Is that, that's a great way to approach. Are you gay? Are you together?
Are you taking the census, sir? What are you doing? Are you doing a genealogy poll here? Like,
are you sisters?
Okay, let's see. Another one is don't be bored.
Huh?
The girls.
How?
When you go out, don't be bored. Have fun and be positive no matter where you are. Positivity draws positivity, and a happy girl draws happy guys who love their life.
I don't know. I'm for sure. I'm thinking about when I was younger. I definitely probably was dissatisfied with a party, was by myself, and had people approach me. Because that could work, too.
Sure.
It's like, oh, you're not enjoying this party either?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing.
But don't girls look like maniacs, too, if they're like...
if it's like a Cyndi Lauper video?
Yeah, if somebody's just visibly stewing, like, very aggravated, then I might not approach. But
there's motion lines coming from their forehead.
But I feel like that could be a good end, because, you know, it's like, oh, what's wrong?
Yeah.
You can, like, talk to someone like a normal human being and have some empathy, and maybe make that work.
But if someone's just having such a great fucking time, you just, like, don't bother them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're raging hard at that party.
Yeah, then you have to, like, act extra, like, hard. You have to, like, really force your way into their world if they're, like, absorbed and everything.
If they're at 10, you have to come in at 13. That's hard.
And then that's crazy.
It's
like you just tackle her.
Well, I just look aloof. How about that? I'll work on that.
Oh, God.
This is from advice from guys for women.
For women. This is what you need to do to be
more
approachable.
Oh, in order to be more approachable. So this guy. Just,
Don't hang out with other guys. This is a big one that someone, something that, this is a big one that something you always need to remember.
This is the opposite of what you were saying for the pack. For women, if there's a pack of guys, it's like, great, I've increased my chances.
Right.
You know? Oh, is that the viewpoint there?
That's what I'm thinking, right? Okay. But they're saying don't hang out with guys.
So they're saying, like a guy saying, hey, girl, don't hang out with other guys because we can't approach you.
Oh, okay, a girl hanging out.
Oh, I'm thinking as a girl, like, there's two guys here. There could be more guys here any minute.
I know, that's what I think. I think that's
true. There's an ass load of guys here.
That's true. As a guy, you never know. It depends where you are, I think, but if you're trying to infiltrate a group of guys with a girl. Even if a guy isn't with the girl, sometimes you'll like have some aggression directed your way. Cause
or maybe it's their cousin or brother. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what the relationship
is. Totally
was.
Gay. You don't even know.
Yeah. Well, how is that? If a woman is with a bunch of gay guys, does that change it?
It's increasing my chances.
Yeah, increasing your chances. Yeah, because those guys might be like, hey, he's not bad. He's coming over. Yeah, you know, right, they're not going to interfere.
Sorry, guys, I'm straight. But I got my eye on her.
Yeah, right? There
See
you go.
See, she wanders off into that dark corner.
Yeah. Only if she looks excited, though. And attractive.
Oh, that's funny. And here's one. Tease him.
With what?
Tease him. Walk past him and make eye contact just as you walk past him.
What about you keep walking past him, like, repeatedly?
Tease him at a level of subtle attention. What do you, like make a face? Or
I don't know what that means.
Walk past him and make eye contact just as you walk past him. So walk past him and then quick give
him a look.
So they're saying flirt. That means flirting.
Cruise him, basically.
Or look at him. Make eye contact like a human being.
Yeah, like a human being, once again.
That's a clear sign. I'll say that. That's good advice.
Yeah.
So how long, I mean, you can tell the difference, though, between, like, someone looking at you and then just looking because they need to get to the next across the room.
I can tell that.
Because they don't want to trip over you.
I can tell that. I'm pretty good at reading body language, but there are some guys who probably cannot tell that.
You're like, dude, she was looking behind
you. Yeah. She was talking to somebody through you.
Yes. So there's a clock behind you. She went another time.
So do guys tend to then err on the side of she's looking at me when they're not?
I think it depends on how full they are themselves.
Yeah, that's definitely a factor.
There's probably some guys who are like, oh, no, dude, she was definitely looking at me. And the woman's like, I, no. You know? Yeah, not only was I not looking at you, I'm actively not looking at you.
Yeah.
That's a hard one, though.
Yeah.
Because my thing is, I my husband always gets on me for this, too. I look everybody in the eye all the time, and he says that's annoying. Like, when I was sitting here having a glass of wine, having my salad or whatever next door, and I'm just looking out the window, people are coming by, and I'm looking right at them, and some people got nervous, a couple people smiled. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Like,
avert your eyes.
You were entertaining me. You know, I'm sitting here by myself. Yeah. Hey, I avert my eyes the whole time. But it makes some people uncomfortable, apparently. Right. I was not flirting with them, especially that guy with the umbrella.
That guy. Guy with the umbrella. What happened with the guy with the
umbrella? I think he thought that I was, like, trying to give him the eye. I'm like, no, dude, I'm literally just looking at everybody that goes by. No. Keep it moving.
Just trying to get it.
Keep it moving.
Here's another tip. Don't be rude. Hey, girls, don't be rude.
Don't be a bitch.
If you're rude to anyone, be it a waiter or one of your friends, odds are the guy won't want to approach.
Huh?
Yeah, no one likes rude people. So no guy wants to strike up a conversation with a girl who may snap at him or insult him for approaching her.
Wow, then I would never have met anyone in my entire life.
Right, and not only that, it's
my
tactic. You're looking at the girl from...
For how long? You're watching her for like a half an hour to see if she's rude to anybody? Yeah. And then if she just doesn't like the meal and she says something to the waiter, you're like, forget it.
What if she's really hot?
Well, actually, there's... Somebody just did something on, I think, like OkCupid, and they intentionally created the worst profile that they could have.
And they got tons of hits.
They got so many hits. And so I feel like, you know, if you're attractive enough, like, guys will not, they do not care if you're rude.
Really? Okay.
Personally, I would not date somebody who is overtly rude. Uh-huh. But I don't think I'm a horrible person.
I guess it depends on what you're willing to put up with.
And what you want in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, if
you want a really, really attractive... I guess if you're a really, really attractive person, you don't have to be nice.
I think that's good advice, though, because if somebody is into someone who's just a rude, like, just nasty person, then they obviously value something else more than their personality.
Right,
It's good.
It's not bad.
Rule of thumb.
That's good. All right, cool. What do you have?
I have something here. This is from Hacks, from Carolyn Hacks.
Carolyn
we
Hacks
feature her all the time.
Yeah.
She's from the Washington Post.
She's an advice columnist, so we pull from, like, straight up
Did you bring any Eugene or Barbara?
I may have some.
Okay.
So she's a professional advice
She's a professional advice, just like us. We're professional advice on advice columns. Yes.
So we find the real advice, yeah. And then we advise.
We advise on that.
Double advice.
So Carolyn Hack says, family pressure has her second-guessing a breakup. Hi, Carolyn. I'm 27 and recently broke up with my boyfriend of 3 years after 8 months of excruciating deliberation. So a third of the relationship, basically, she was trying to get out of there.
Okay.
Although I love him, there were certain deal breakers that would make building a life together fairly difficult. First, I want to plant roots near my family, across the country from our current city. He doesn't. Second, our lifestyles don't exactly match, and he drinks a little bit more than I would like him to.
So he's fun.
Some than I would want my husband to drink. Some incidents include drinking, for example, at 8 a.m., some warm white wine that was on the kitchen table from dinner last night.
Whoa. Yeah. Ooh, wait a minute.
Drinking to the point of speaking nonsense a few times a month. I mean,
all right.
Getting drunk at least 3 nights a week. I'm fine with having some drinks, but he takes it to extreme. Other than that, we're best friends. Yeah. We have common goals. We love spending time together. Okay. I just couldn't shake the pit in my stomach when thinking about those two issues. Now, apparently, though, her family thinks that she should have stayed with this guy.
Okay.
And so, if I had a moment of peace with my decision, but every time I see my family, they never fail to remind me what a great guy he is and ask me if there's any chance of us working it out. It reminds me that there are a lot of dirtbags out there who won't compare to him. I realize my biological clock is ticking. Bitch, you're 27.
Yeah.
My biological clock is ticking.
Yes. Yes.
Family does have my best interests at heart. But I'm tired of second-guessing my choices every time I see them. Is it worth reassessing the relationship with my family if they truly think he's best for me? I do love him, but maybe my deal breakers are actually deal benders. I don't know what that is.
Deal
bending. I've never heard of bending a deal.
Yeah.
You make a deal, you break a deal.
Yeah.
You don't bend a deal. And if not, how do I kindly tell my family to please stop, all caps, adding to the agony the breakup is already causing me? Signed, second guessing.
Wow.
Yeah. So the situation is she's broken up with this drunk in her esteem.
Yeah.
It took her 8 months to do it. She's gotten over it, but her family is consistently telling her that she should not have broken up with this guy.
Why? What does he have? What did he have?
I don't know.
We don't even know.
Tick, tick, tick. Who knows?
You know? Just that they don't like her and they want to see her fail.
I don't know. You know, she's going to be 28 next year, so hurry up.
Well, yeah. Also, I mean, you know, you live a private life alone. People act differently when they're in front of your family, so maybe he just never exhibited that side, and maybe, you know, explaining it to them, if she even did, which she doesn't say.
Yeah.
Right.
But you told, like, your parents that, you know, he's drinking at 8 a.m. They'd probably be like, warm white wine.
That's nasty.
From the night before?
And we like a nice white wine.
We do, but a fresh one.
Yeah. Not at the
box. 30, 10 o'clock?
Those are brunch hours at least.
Yeah. I have a feeling it was probably a Tuesday when he did this. So Hack says, may I suggest second-guessing your preference for living near your family? If you think they're all up in your grill now. Yeah, she said all up in your grill.
Oh, Carol.
Then imagine when you bring yourself and possibly your family to within easy meddling range. As for the ex, you had me at drinks too much. Whether you want to tell your family is a problem drinker is up to you. But certainly you can make your point very clear without that detail. Why not just tell them? You know what I mean? That seems like the easiest way. I find it very difficult. Unless you come from a family of functioning alcoholics, and some of us do.
Right.
But most people would not want another functioning alcoholic in the family.
Unless they want to keep the family
drunk together.
Yeah, like the same. It's something that they're familiar with. They want to keep it all the same.
So she says, tell him, I made the only right decision for me. If you'd like to marry him, then you get some say in this. Otherwise, please stop. Please stop disrespecting my judgment and bringing it up.
All right. So it sounds like she knows what's, you know, she has a pretty good head on her shoulders if she's getting rid of the guy, but it sounds like family issues. How do you handle family as a guy when they're doing this kind of crap?
When they're all up in your grill.
Yeah. My family's pretty hands-off. But I had a girlfriend who was great. Family loved her, and they still do.
Yeah.
Are you drinking white wine this morning?
No. Is she hitting the white wine?
It's PBRs.
From the night before.
Yeah, from several.
Yeah.
But it was a logistics thing as well. Like, she didn't necessarily know if she wanted to stay in New York, and I was like, well,
deal bender.
I kind of have to do that to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
So she's a poet, and she could travel anywhere to write, but I didn't want to go do improv in, like, Montana.
No kidding.
They don't need to be anywhere.
Right.
What was the beef with her?
It was just, she was just kind of unhappy, about, I think, about her life situation professionally and, like, transferring those feelings over to, like, oh, what's going to make me happy? I want to move to
the West Coast. A poet's never going to be happy, though, let's be clear
about
that.
Eternal road.
Yeah.
But, you know, my family kind of, I just straight up was like, hey, it's logistics. It sucks. I, like, still loved her, but, you know, it just wasn't going to work out. And, like, sometimes you just got to pull the trigger, I think. So,
yeah.
She seems to have a few better reasons yes. to break up with this guy. I think that was good advice to give her.
Yeah. It's not bad. I took issue with it being all up in your grill. Like, if you're going to use, you know, vernacular English, you need to pepper it throughout.
Right.
So you just can't throw one thing in and then back away from it. That's all I'm saying. Just be
right,
consistent.
Right. Bizarre. I think it's family issues. You got to, you know what the thing is with families. You have to set
you gotta
the
drop
tone
the hammer
early. When you start like with relationships
at
and
the,
things
at the beginning.
Yeah. You can't let them run roughshod.
First of all, I don't let anyone see my family.
Yeah.
Until we get married.
That's right.
That's been pretty consistent. Because if you bring them around, they do what they will like them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? They will
actually,
like
that's
them.
Not true. Because my
really?
Family definitely disliked girlfriends of mine.
Yeah, and they made it known.
Well, not really, but like afterwards, they were like, what were you thinking?
Afterwards, they hate
us. That's the worst. That makes me angry, though, when I'm dating someone in his family or friends and then I break up, they're like, oh, that guy was the worst. I'm like, y'all couldn't have said that before?
Yeah. Oh, I'm like, I knew that anyway, because that's the one I was on again, off again several times.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I just kept going back for some reason.
For some...
We kept winning her back.
Yes.
With that advice.
Yeah. We kept winning each other back.
Yes. Right. Over and over again. Oh, there's nothing like that. Nothing like a boomerang relationship.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you got?
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
This is from Advice Vixens.
Okay.
This is, ooh, all right, ooh. There is a columnist that we go to often quite, E. Jean. And she has her own, not only does she have her own column now, she has the spinoff called Advice Vixens.
Okay.
Is this like multiple X's and Vixens?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like.
We like E. Jean. E. Jean is a, you know.
E. Jean is a.
She's a gold dust woman.
She's a woman of a certain age
yes.
that drinks a lot of wine.
Yes.
And
she probably has very large frame glasses and,
you know
floppy
fabulous.
Hats.
Of
yeah.
course.
Right.
Okay.
So this is a column where someone throws something out there and all these people kind of chime in, but
okay.
they're all, you know, women of a certain age.
Mm-hmm. And they're all crazy town.
Yeah.
Chablis.
All right. So this woman writes in and says, I only have sex so I can control my husband. I have to think of other people to get through it. How can I fix it?
you know what? First of all, advice on the asking of advice, succinct, to the point. I like
yes.
it. Yeah. Who are you thinking about? Is it Liam Neeson?
No, she doesn't go. She just has to think of other people.
Okay.
Just to get
I just bring him up because he was in town recently.
Oh, yeah.
And he's defending the carriage horses and nobody else is.
Okay,
really?
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
Yes, Liam Neeson. He's going to find those carriage horses. And he will save them.
Well, didn't he sleep inside a horse?
A horse.
Wasn't he in Rob Roy? The movie Rob Roy?
He slept in a horse?
Wherein he had to live and he had to cut open a giant animal and sleep inside
isn't
it.
That Star
I never
Wars?
Saw that. That
That's
is Star Wars.
Wars.
That was
where
a tauntaun.
Where he cut open a tauntaun.
I don't think anyone's condoning tauntaun carriages in New York.
Is Scotland that rough?
I
can't. That people are sleeping in horses.
Yeah, well, it's cold. You're going to die. You cut open your horse and sleep in it. I mean...
That's a way to go.
That's a big jump from real life, civilized society in Park Avenue. And
but I like how Katie draws it together. That's why he was there, though.
Because he's like, I'm being nice.
Yeah, I'm being nice.
This is so much better than sleeping inside.
He cuts open and sleeps in a New York City horse. Props. I'll watch that movie. Okay, so what happened?
So people now are answering this question. How can I fix this? Because I control him with my with sex.
Okay.
Yeah, but I have
to think of it.
I'm sure the sex is great.
Yeah.
As you're daydreaming it away.
Yes. She's like holding a book in one hand.
Like, oh.
Just trying to get through it. Yeah.
The different guys' pictures, you know, come over. Let's see. Someone writes in and says, while I definitely agree that marriage is no excuse for bad sex, I definitely...
Okay. Now that we settled that.
I definitely feel you should exhaust all other options before ditching the guy. I mean, counseling, sex books, and, oh, even blindfolds made from table napkins.
Well, she should wear the blindfold, clearly.
Wait, made from table napkins, specifically? Those are the best kind of blindfolds. Everybody
yeah.
knows that.
You know those table napkins you have at home?
Scratchy table napkins. Who doesn't love...
I have, like, Bounty at home. Would that work?
I would, like, a velour belt. I don't know, something a little...
Right,
little table napkins.
Right, yeah, show us something.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. All right, then the next person says...
Well, how is the blindfold going to help her? Okay, forget it.
She doesn't have to look at him.
But she's already...
Yeah, she's got that covered.
It's just weird because she's doing... I'm imagining she's doing all the sexy stuff, right? She's trying to make it happen. And she can put the blindfold on him, not on herself.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the sexy part.
Right.
Anyways.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
I agree.
So then someone else writes in and says, "Honey, you have the right idea. Control is key. Find a pool boy and keep doing what you're doing."
Find a pool boy?
Yeah. So you have your own...
I'm living in a different time period than everyone else.
She goes on to say, "Nobody likes having sex with their husband. What's the problem?"
Oh, God.
"You should only ask advice when you stop thinking of other people. Please."
Oh, my God. Wow. I love this one. We have to get more advice from these guys. It's like...
It's like a cast member on,
it's
like...
It's Golden Girl.
The Dom New Jersey Housewives or something.
Let me know when you start enjoying it. Then you've got a problem.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so jaded. A little jaded there.
The other one says, "You're delusional if you think your sex is actually working to control him. Sex is available all over the place, and I wouldn't be surprised if your whipped husband has a few secondary cubby holes he crawled into late at night."
Wow. So her whoa.
A couple of Liam Neeson horses crawling. Yeah.
That's her response.
Yeah.
He's, "What should I be doing? Your husband's fucking other people. Don't worry about it." In their lame ass sex.
Well, I mean, that's a possibility, I think.
Yeah.
Subconscious is pretty powerful, so if the sex isn't good for you, chances are it's not good for him either.
Yeah, he might be, but maybe both need blindfolds.
Right. What's so bad about sex with your husband? Did you always dislike it, or did you start when you started using sex for control? Something's disconnected here. Relationships take work, and a healthy sex life takes work, too.
Oh, that's actually not bad advice.
Yeah. Stop controlling and start thinking why you're not into sex with your husband.
Hmm.
Interesting. So
I would say a few glasses of wine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Work as well.
I always condone thinking through your problems.
Yes.
So always good advice. Maybe give that a whirl.
Someone else writes in. D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Sing it with me now.
Huh?
Sex kicks ass and it shouldn't be a chore. Get out. Get out now.
Go. Run, bitch. Run, Lola, run.
Oh, my God. This is like... Okay, this one goes on. Not only is control obtainable through sex, but it is...
It's like...
But it is necessary for a woman to embrace these powers simply because it's a facet of life men are unable to dominate.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I don't know.
Okay.
About that. While it's unfortunate that you feel that you have to use sex solely to control your husband, it's beneficial for women to use their powers of attraction in order to get what they want.
Wow, these are some man eaters out there.
This is advice vixens.
Wow.
Yeah.
What happens
I'm afraid.
At 50?
Are you okay, Frank? Are you afraid listening to
that's
this?
That's when advice gets aggressive.
Like,
advice. I'm scared.
This is shocking.
This, however, is a fine line because women frequently use only this facet to define themselves, which is unfortunate because fit young women will quickly find themselves shit out of luck in 20 years.
Wow. Just like me. Pop, pop. It only gets worse.
Men's doggedly physical attraction to women makes them vulnerable in a way that allows women to dominate. And this one aspect...
Frank looks horrified. Viewers, listeners, you cannot see it that way. Shocking. What happened to these women?
Their simple veracity.
It's like a Danielle Steele novel.
It's
like Lifetime TV original
this
advice.
Is like,
wow.
This is a room we didn't want to enter.
No, video victim. Usually E. Jean's stuff is, you know, pretty on the... Maybe this is why she did this alternative advice
site. She had this is like her ratchet.
Yeah. This is like her ratchet site.
For the harsh pessimist listener.
Yeah.
So you're right, Frank. Everything's
the woman of a certain
age. Yeah, that's tough. Turning 35 this year.
In 15 years, this is what you're going to
feel like. Yeah, that's going to be it.
Yeah, these are the ladies that you're going to get ready now.
Yeah. Woof. All right, so I have some here. The biggest mistakes guys make on dating sites. This is from AskMen.com, which is really the worst site ever. Do not ever go there.
AskMen.
AskMen.com.
Ask Men.
This is written by someone who purports to be named Derek Cajun.
Ooh, that's a porn.
I own a restaurant.
Derek Cajun.
Oh, that's nice. That's
yeah, we thought it was a porn name. Okay. So, meeting women online. It says, Derek Cajun works for Love Systems. as a dating coach and is a freelance writer and actor. And a freelance actor?
What?
It says a freelance writer and actor on the side. I'm like, most actors are freelance, right?
So, like, he had one role and he still considers yes. himself
on the side.
On the side.
Okay. This is an excerpt from his new book, The Gentleman's Guide to Online Dating, because that's where gentlemen are nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, number one. Forever alone. When choosing pictures to use on your dating site profile, be sure to include pictures when you're where you're having fun with others. This is weird for me because I was looking through a friend's Tinder and there was pictures of guys, like three guys, and I'm like, well, is it that guy? No.
Yeah.
Mm. Is it that guy? Oh, it's that one. You know what I mean? So if you're going to be with other guys, make sure that they're not better looking or more fun than you.
Right.
Like in the picture. Highlight you.
And it's, you know, same goes for the advice we were just talking about. You need the guy to be alone so the girl can pounce.
Yes.
Just like,
yeah.
You don't need to see.
It says, nothing says possible weirdo like a profile with nothing but shots of yourself completely alone. Either that or your friends don't want to be in your dating profile.
Right.
Yeah. Is the possibility.
Yeah, maybe respect for others' privacy.
Yeah.
And what about, like, and it's for somebody to learn about you. It's just like when you sent out a headshot, Frank. It's, do you have your friends in your headshot?
You have your whole team in your headshot.
Yeah, no.
They can just pick the one they want, and that one will show up. Number two, bad shots. Photos communicate who you are. Wear clothes that best communicate who you are. Make sure your hair is nice.
That's all right.
Make sure
that's
it's
good.
Nice. And that you should be centered in the frame and use shallow focus if possible.
What?
Oh, some photography advice.
Exactly.
Oh.
I wasn't sure about what that was and I took a film class. So it's like,
what is that?
Shallow focus. Frank?
I don't know what shallow focus is.
That's what I'm saying. Shallow focus. Shallow focus is like, it's not from far, far away, basically.
Okay.
It's like a close up nice shot, but like, just say that. Use a nice fucking picture of yourself.
Up close.
Yeah, that's.
Pro tip.
What?
Pro tip.
That wasn't a pro tip?
No, those are amateur tips.
Got it.
Pro tip, don't look at the camera.
What?
Don't look at the camera.
Why?
Studies have shown that women are more likely to click on a man's profile if he's not looking at the camera in a photo. I find that weird.
That is weird.
I feel like, does anybody actually, I'm sure people do it, but does anybody really, like, okay, now it's time for my OkCupid profile photo session. I feel like I just take whatever good
yes.
pictures I happen
but
to have.
But that's what I'm saying. If I say, hey, I'm going to take a picture of you guys, aren't you both going to look at the camera?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're not going to look at me. Right?
Hold on, I'm going to look at those birds.
Yes, I'm going to look down to the right.
Dream of flying.
So it says, the biggest, number three, it's not an interview. Your about me in your profile shouldn't be a list of likes and dislikes, because that should be a mystery, I guess. I don't know. You shouldn't have facts about you or what you're looking for in a woman. None of that. Do not put any of that. Yeah, that's boring.
Just your blank slate.
Tell a funny story that explains the type of person you are or describe an adventure you could both go on.
No.
What do you think about that?
That's so
a funny
cheesy.
Story is very subjective, though, right?
Yeah.
This is also, like, I feel like, I mean, wouldn't the logistics of the website, like, where the About Me section falls in, and if there's, like, another category that has, like, this just seems very specifically tailored.
Pro tip.
Is it for love systems specifically?
Yeah.
Pro tip. Make sure spelling and punctuation are correct. Terrible grammar can be a big turnoff for some women. No, all women.
Yeah.
Like, period.
Well, that's a red flag. When someone can't spell or write English sentences, I'm like,
unless they are ESL, right? Unless English is not their first
language
then
that'll usually, you can tell that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it when I find a misspelling, like, in my posts, even on Facebook. I
go
find
back.
Them and I'm like,
I edit them.
And I go on for, like, three posts, like, I didn't mean that. I was
I'm going to jump in and be like, she knew. She just can't fucking spell. I'm like Liam Neeson. I will find them and I will save them. Number four, terrible message. Your first message can make or break you or bend you, as we found out earlier. Short SMS style messages are not the way to go. Try to evoke an emotional reaction out of her with your message and keep it fun. Pro tip. This is where I think they're setting guys up. Use humor as a way to relieve tension.
No.
This is, again, you do humor for a living here.
Yeah.
Very subjective, am I right?
I love using humor.
To relieve tension.
To relieve tension. That's what humor is. The release of tension.
When it's tense in a room, that's, you know, where you want to come in with your best bits.
Yeah, I mean, all the humor is so subjective to you. I mean, I've seen people being funny on their profile, and it's like, you're a hack.
That's another thing, right? You know, like being in comedy, like you are, not me, but you can really see who's hacky and who's not, and
Yeah. It says here their suggestions are in the pro tip. Try inviting her to come along on a made-up activity like robbing a bank or stealing a pirate ship.
Whimsical.
Be creative.
That might work with kindergarten teachers or something.
This is number 5. Get her off the site. Try to get her on the phone after a few messages and then chat on programs like Skype. Now, this is why I'm glad I'm not dating now. I'm glad I'm married. Skype, I never look good on Skype. No. I'm always lit poorly. There's always some weird shit in the background. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's never, like, when I Skype with people for a podcast, and sometimes I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I'm in my bedroom. I need to, like, maybe angle this in a different way so this doesn't look like,
you know. Times out of 10 when I'm home, I'm totally unpresentable.
Yeah.
Right. I do not want anybody. I've never actually FaceTime with anybody. I think I've Skyped one time in my whole life.
FaceTime with my husband, and when I Skype online, I do another podcast called Regular Black Women, and whenever I Skype with other black women, we're always wearing a headscarf. Always. Like, no one ever has a hair, and we're always like, girl, I'm wearing a headscarf. It's like, it's okay, me too.
Because it's not video. It's all audio, but still you.
No, we're doing video. And that's why we put the headscarf. No, we can go without a headscarf on audio.
Yeah.
My hair's not that bad.
I was FaceTiming with my niece, who's 11, and I still was, like, holding the phone up.
Are you getting a nice angle?
Getting good angle.
15 like, degrees.
She doesn't care. She doesn't care what her aunt looks like.
You don't know. She's pretty savvy.
I'm just like, get her off the site. I just love that. It's like, you gotta take her off of there, man. So many better guys than you.
Get her out. I'm so glad. Okay, what? A lot of our friends are using, like, Tinder. Are your friends using Tinder as well?
I've been seeing, I guess Tinder's the new hot app.
If you're old, yeah.
When I met my first girlfriend after college, I met her on hotornot.com, which is, like, the most shallow website ever in existence.
That's hilarious.
But I haven't actually ever used a dating website.
I only did it once to meet my husband on Craigslist.
I was on once, and then I when they started getting replies, I ran away from the computer.
Great. Classic Katie.
Yeah. It's like, I'm
scared.
Shut it down.
I feel like people do that, and then cyclically try to find a reason for it to apologize and then get back on. It's like, oh, well, maybe it was just bad that one time.
And I'm going to do it again.
Still got 20 more penis pics.
It's dick pics, and then guys with their fishing catch. There's a lot, and topless.
There's
a lot of that. It's like, here, look what I caught. It's like, ooh, and a C cup. You know what I mean? It's like, never a good thing. Those guys are out there, though, ladies. Mm. It's not too late.
Suggest an activity. Like, hey, let's go crabbing. You can see from my picture that I actually go crabbing.
Yeah. Where I'm from, that might work, Maryland.
Oh, yeah.
I would go crabbing.
Yeah, but what about other friends, like people out in your...
Yeah, are people using, like, okay, stupid...
Yeah, I mean, I think... I'm going to be 35 this year, like I said, so most of my friends, I think, are still using okay, Cupid, or some are maybe still on Match. But I think people like Tinder because it's easy. Yeah. I think it's like yes or no.
But it's like, it's more like a game. Because like I was saying before, some of my friends let me do their Tinder. Because like we're out, getting bored, and we're like, ooh, that's Tinder. And I'm like, I don't even care. I'm swiping, whatever.
I mean... From what I understand, I kind of like the Tinder process
because
it's like you're just eliminating one of the steps right away. It's like, is there any physical attraction or like just non-attraction that's overt happening?
Right.
And then you have your chance to fuck up with words after that.
Yeah. Right. Just like, I mean, kind of like it almost mimics real life because you look at somebody at a bar or out somewhere and then you're like, I'll go talk to them.
We looked at 200 people in like a minute. That never happens at a bar.
Whoa.
On Tinder.
That's
quick snap
judgments. Yeah. We'd have to run through bars in New York, just looking everywhere to get that kind of action. And that could work. That could be. We could do that. That could be a thing. Just bust through.
Like a speed dated, like a speed peeping.
Yeah,
bar
but we do it with running. Yeah, for people who are fit.
That's good. Speed peepers.
Speed peepers.
That's .com.
Bring your binoculars.
Just go.
Go. That's going to be our new business.
You have 2 seconds to look at everybody.
Speed peepers.
We come up with a new business like once a podcast.
Yeah.
Nice.
This was not
bad. Ours.
If it works out, we'll give you a third.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Speedpeepers.com. That sounds awful. Just run. Go. Stop looking at him for so long. You know if you want him or not. All right, Katie, what have you got?
Okay, I got this is Elder Wisdom Circle.
Oh, I love this. This is where old-ass people give.
Yeah, so you can write into the Elder Wisdom Circle and they will...
Theirs are usually pretty good because they've seen it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, wisdom.
Yeah, the question is...
They're wizened.
All right. I have been seeing my boyfriend for almost 9 months, and I love him very much. I see him about 3 or 4 times a week for a few hours, and he normally asks me...
That's very, like, with the Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays.
This is already such a slow question.
He normally asks me to come around at about 1900 or 2000 hours, even though he finishes work
yes,
at 1200 hours. And I never really understand why he doesn't invite me around earlier so we can spend longer longer together.
He's putting the artillery away. That's right. He's in the mess hall.
His hours have changed now at work, and he starts at 5 a.m. and finishes at 12 p.m., which means he has to be awake at 3:30 a.m.
Bitch, he's seeing somebody else, possibly two other people.
I'm worried that his hours have changed. They won't make an effort to fit me in his schedule. I'm always having to arrange to see him anyway, but now his hours have changed.
Oh my God, this is the worst.
So he's going to bed at 2100 hours.
I just Tinder-node this question. Swiped right.
But it's just like some people, they get focused on the time. Other people get focused on the location.
Yeah.
You know, like they just stuck. It's a loop.
Oh, God.
What time did she write this?
Oh, God. Let's see. He does have 2 days off a week, but sometimes...
like, oh, God.
And then he, oh, my
it's
God.
Like a rain.
I don't even know
thing.
What happens here.
Okay.
Is there so much time and so many days involved? I don't even know.
So we get it. It's a time thing.
Yeah.
So what's
he doesn't have a lot of time. What do the old people say? They died while living. It's like, I don't have much time left. I don't have time for this.
Yeah, but when you do get together, what usually happens? Do you hang out at his place? Do you go? Do you think?
Like
do things you enjoy? What would happen if he just showed up one afternoon? Does he ever? Does he not allow that? I mean, it's like this is the worst. My advice is to speak up and tell him what's on your mind. To calmly ask him about his afternoons with
Steve. Calmly? I don't want to come in hot, screaming like a banshee.
Begin to pay attention to what he says or does, as well as he doesn't do, or what he doesn't do or say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Use your senses.
Yep. Think. Look, listen, stop, feel, everything.
I found a saying the other day that seems to apply here. It goes like this.
Bitch, wake up. Bitch, please.
Follow your heart, but take your brain with you. Try to take an objective look at what's going on, and don't settle for anything that isn't right for you. I hope it helps. Feel back to right by any time.
I love these people. I hope it works out.
It's like, I don't even, I think they fell asleep, and they're just like, you know what, just talk to him and see what.
He probably said, Elsa, you answer this one. It's terrible.
Yeah. Talk to him and see what happens.
Yeah. Cool. We're just going to lob some tropes at you.
Neither a borrower nor a lender be.
This wisdom is on autopilot.
So we want to thank you so much for coming into the studio with us. If people are looking to find you and your work, where can they do so?
You can like our Facebook page at the Queen's Secret Improv Club. That's how we disseminate most of our information.
Oh, great.
Our website is currently under construction. You can check that out at queens-secret.com. And I'm on Twitter and Tumblr as well.
What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is Frank, the letter E, _Skittles. That's going to work out. People love taking Twitter handles off a podcast and then inserting them to find the person later.
Okay.
So I'm going to get at least 500 more followers from that one.
Yeah,
sure.
we'll list all of this stuff on our website.
Okay,
you
cool.
can just
That'll
click
work.
On it.
Yeah, just do that. I write some jokes. I write some articles sometimes on the blog.
Cool.
So thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
It was so great to have you. It was so much fun. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks! It says, don't feel the need to include photos of yourself all over other women either.
No.
I've seen these before, though. I've seen photographs on guys' dating profiles and my friends have been looking for where they're like with two women.
Yeah, and it's then like they should have a caption that says, "See,
yeah, it works.
See,
twice. They liked it. They went for it."